Sheikh and the Murid. This is a very respectful and high esteem and a very deep and close relationship. The relationship and the connection between the Sheikh and the Murid, the teacher and the student. This is such a relationship that in the heart of the Sheikh, for his Murid, all of the benefits are sealed and protected. All goodness and benefit that reaches to the student is protected and kept safe by the Sheikh, and the Sheikh protects and keeps so safe the benefits and the goodness that needs to go to the student, that anything that is of benefit to the student, it is kept confidential, and this is like a secret, you could say. And nasiha, advices and guidelines that the Sheikh gives to the student, either verbally or in isolation or in private or in the past generations, especially the past generation, you can even say it's my generation, because even I have seen that golden generation, and there was a special quality. There was the letters that the Sheikh would write to the Murid, to the student. That's confidential information, private information, love between the Sheikh and the student, and the relationship, the depth of the relationship is kept confidential and it's beneficial. And I'm speaking about tasawwuf because this is a majlis of tasawwuf and you are all associated with tasawwuf. That's why I'm saying this. Just like amongst us, we have a tariqah, a method, alhamdulillah, the sheet system, the tazkiyah sheet system. And every colleague, every student sends me his communication. And as far as I understand, that everybody's situation, scenario, circumstances are shared with me, and the information is confidential. All of the information that you share with me, any weakness, any information you want to mention to the Sheikh, to the teacher, so that is kept top class confidential, alhamdulillah, as far as I can, as I'm aware. It's just between me and the student. Nobody else is aware of this. That's how much, alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Allah, grace of Allah, this system is confidential, and the information is not divulged to anybody else. And never does the Sheikh think or consider that, oh, I'll divulge this information or tell other people. And never will the Murid, the sensei Murid, divulge or share, disseminate the Sheikh's information to someone else. And this is the great relationship between the Sheikh and the Murid. My Hazrat Sheikh Nur Al Marqada rahmatullahi gave me this responsibility, and because I was far, through the maktubat, through the letters, through his writings, Hazrat Sahib would deliver and share with me nasiha, guidance. And this is the life habit. Everybody has their stance of love and muhabbat and connection and strength of connection with the Sheikh. Alhamdulillah, my habit in my life, there's probably no morning in which I don't read the letters of my Sheikh, Hazrat Sahib. Subhanallah. As far as I can remember, I don't think any morning has passed, alhamdulillah. So that is the assistant of my life. It's as if Hazrat Sahib is sitting there and has written and explained to me, and such nurani and you can say enlightenment comes. And in the morning I was reading a letter, and there was an ajeeb hukam. Allah Ta'ala knows better about Hazrat Sahib, what he meant in essence. And as I was reading at the bottom, Hazrat Sahib said, and I have read a statement that these words explain to all of your colleagues. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. So then I read it again, attentively, that, and I read the letter again, over again. Then I read again, and that same statement I understood, that all your colleagues and associates share these words with them. So then Hazrat Sahib is announcing that this is not a secret between me and you, rather share. This is an open secret now. So then it's become fard on me, compulsory on me, that I share those facts and the words that Hazrat Sahib told me in that letter. So now you think yourself. The one is the relationship between the Sheikh and the Murid. The Sheikh is doing islah of the student and sending him information or giving him information, teaching him. And sometimes the Sheikh gives the instruction that tell everybody else. So that is common phase. common benefit and inspiration. And then thousands, tens of thousands of people will hear these words, whoever has a link with Hazrat Sahib. Obviously they will hear this, won't they? So this is the feeling of the Shaykh. It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspiration. The Shaykh desires that whoever is associated with this silsila, alhamdulillah, they should all attain faiz and benefit. And they should also get the benefit of this tariqah. And that's that time when Hazrat Sahib would write this clearly. And the walis of Allah, they have special qualities. Allah Ta'ala's tajalliyat, Allah Ta'ala's benefit, and the closeness to Allah is experienced by the walis of Allah. And you'll see this in the shan of the walis of Allah. If you read the maktubat of Hazrat Shaykh, then you'll see the ajeeb style and the quality of their communication. And every Shaykh is unique and brilliant. Hazrat Shaykh Mawlana Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullah, wrote his kitab, his most famous kitab, which is Fazaili Amal, the virtues, the Fadali Amal. And this kitab is written, is read all over the world. Maybe there's no time, no moment in the day or the night that this kitab is not read around the world, subhanAllah. So in here, Will's discussing this point. Hazrat Sahib has written such points which are khas, special in the light of tasawwuf. And Hazrat Sahib has made his points dahir. And there's enjoyment and benefit when a person reads these and hears these. And when the walis of Allah write, they communicate. So obviously Hazrat Sahib's maqam, I don't know, I cannot introduce you to Hazrat Sahib. If I say Qayyum, that doesn't look enough. If I say Ghawth, it's not sufficient. If I say Kutub, it's not sufficient. If I say something higher than that, even that is not sufficient. It's not enough. That's why I do not attach titles to my Shaykh Qudusira Rahmatullah Alayhi. Allah Ta'ala knows best his status, his greatness. Allah knows best, and Allah Ta'ala knows and recognizes the status of his Mahbubeen. We cannot differentiate, he's on this maqam, that maqam, he's this great, that great. No. So my heart feels that this was a hukam, an order. So I'd like to explain that letter to you a little bit, because this is an instruction. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, so I can, may Allah give tawfiq that I can share these words with you, because these are ajeeb points of tasawwuf, unique points of tasawwuf. So I will sort of summarize in my style, in my words, I'd present to you the essence of the letter so you can understand. I'm not word by word reading the letter, but I'll give you the summary, the commentary of the letter, the explanation. And there are various points in the letter for me, but it's the meaning of Hazrat Sahib's words, and you'll understand that Hazrat Sahib has said this to us. So I'll give you detail, so that at least I'll give you that much detail so you can understand what is required to be understood. Now, one is that we should understand that any wali of Allah, he is the naib of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the deputy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the work of the deen that the prophets of Allah did, especially Khatam al-Nabiyyin, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the walis of Allah, the awliya Allah, they are following in the footsteps, step by step of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are doing the same work of the deen as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to deliver tawheed, the lesson of tawheed, oneness of Allah to the whole world, to the globe. La ilaha illallah. Allah is the greatest. Allah's wahdaniyat, Allah's oneness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam introduced the oneness of Allah to the universe. Is this not the case? This was his mission. The first lesson that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave after collecting everybody when he stood on the mount in Makkah, and he said to everybody, "Qulu la ilaha illallah." Subhanallah. Tell, say, announce, accept that there's wahid, one that Allah. Say subhanallah. Allah is the greatest. He is the creator. He is the master. And this is the mission of every wali of Allah. Remember this. Remember this. This mission, that various ways and methods and styles are adopted to spread this. You could say tasawwuf. And sometimes the methodology changes, flexibility. But the essence of the mission is that may Allah Ta'ala's oneness be ingrained on our hearts. In where? Onto the heart. May the oneness of Allah, tawheed, be ingrained onto the heart of the students. And brothers, remember this now, the heart is not one. There are different types and forms and conditions of the heart. Various. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Don't go to sleep, okay? Don't switch off. Don't switch off. Now I'm speaking about my Shaykh. This is our Shaykh. Listen carefully, attentively. There are various forms and levels of the shirk. We think that the heart is a piece of flesh, and the doctor will see all hearts as one, as the same, and they'll give the same cure, and they'll insert valves, and they'll put the solution to heart issues, open heart surgery, bypass surgery. It's the same heart surgery. It's the same heart that they operate on. But in reality, the heart has many different forms and images, many different types. Yes, the heart can be a disbeliever, the heart can be a hypocrite. There are different types, different forms. There's a munafiq heart, there's a heart that doesn't believe, there's a heart which has riya showing off, or lust, or hub of the dunya, and loving lust and material things. A heart that is immersed in the world, or shahwat, and lust and passion. Different types of hearts. There's the dishonest heart, which is a liar heart. There's a fraudster heart. There's a heart that plays games or deceives. Look at the different types of heart, isn't it? Many different types. There's a heart that takes one towards haram and unlawful. That's also a form of the heart. Different forms, different conditions or levels or phases of the heart. A person can understand there are many different scenarios of the heart, many different clips of the heart. So can all these different forms and types of heart, all different types, can they be in the heart, inside one person? So which heart will we take to Allah? Say subhanallah. Which heart will it be that we'll present to Allah? Tell me. Explain to me. Subhanallah. Sometimes a human being, he doesn't do sajda to Allah. It's his body. He's doing the same prostration, but he's doing sajda to his nafs. He's prostrating to his desires. He doesn't know how many times have I called out to Allah in my prostration. He's forgetting. He's not even concentrating on that. He's saying, I prayed to Allah, I did sajda, I prostrate. But he doesn't know who did he prostrate to. When he will get to Allah, then the secret will be unraveled. Who did you prostrate to? You were thinking about this person, you were doing sajda to this person, prostrating to that person. Allah says, in your whole life you didn't prostrate to me once. Not even once. And if a person is munafiq, he'll do ibadah with nifaq, hypocrisy, or with fraud, or with lust, or with passion, or with lying. Allah will say that you prostrated to this. A person, for example, doesn't believe and he worships an idol, we'll say he's a disbeliever. But what about the heart that has disbelief and makes a person follow the principles of kufr? What about that? So Allah is the greatest. This riya showing off and nifaq, Allah sent the walis of Allah to grab hold of the defective heart. Only the wali of Allah can see and analyze and identify that this student, who is he prostrating to? Where are his thoughts? He's immersed and drowned in his desires. Have you heard this before? Seen this? For example, the music plays, ding ding, and the instruments, and people start dancing, get overcome with the music. Without music, have you seen people dancing? No, there's no dancing without music. Without music, have you ever seen anybody dancing or supposedly enjoying himself or herself? No. When the music starts, even the children start moving their bodies and dancing and swaying. They get into a bit of a trance, so-called enjoyment. Music can be qawwali, different types of music. Is it jais? Yeah? Does Sharia allow it? Qawwali? Is it jais? No. You know, they say, people say, oh, I've got hal, I'm in a trance, overwhelmed, the harmonium, the melodies, and the person jumping up and down. Is he doing this for the sake of Allah? That person hasn't even prayed saliva. He doesn't know about sunnah, doesn't know about haram and halal. However many paths of haram there are, and actions of wrong, the more closer a person is to wrong and haram, that's the first sign that where shaitan, he comes and he invites, and this is the weapon of shaitan. When a person accepts the invitation of shaitan, then what happens? Even naats are read in this way nowadays. That all night long you can keep people up, but nobody will wake up all night long to recite the Quran. If I say now I'm going to recite Quran, everybody sit down, everybody starts running, and start feeling sleepy. If I say Qawwali is going to start today, then the whole village, locality, inside, outside town, Manchester, everybody will start coming. Oh, that Qawwali has come today, that singer. Qawwali is going to be sung, then money, notes will be thrown, and people swaying and joom jam. What is this? This is the same heart that Shaitan has grabbed, infiltrated, and he has injected into the heart, the liking towards fahsh, evil, immodesty. And the person then considers he's doing ibadah. Who's he prostrating now? Is he swaying for Allah? Where he's speaking nonsense and he's listening to or saying nonsense things. Is this for the sake of Allah? No. There's drums and instruments. That's it. So this is the point to be understood. So the first point is that the hearts have many thousands of different types and forms. So we have to question ourselves that what situation is our heart in? Forget about criticizing others. Let's speak to ourselves and analyze ourselves and ponder, where is my heart at today, my brothers? Akhira is a massive reality. At this moment, my Hazrat Sahib said that that's when we will realize all the dramas will end. That time we'll realize that what a big muttaqi were you, fearful of Allah, what was your status, how cautious were you. Look at your heart, look at your own heart and recognize where is your heart sitting. What a great statement. The Holy Prophet ﷺ stated that in your body there's a piece of flesh. If that piece of flesh is correct, then your eye is correct, your nose is correct, your hand is correct, your thinking is correct, your prostration is correct, your salah is correct. Subhanallah. That's it. What a great statement. Great statement. The heart, if it's a munafiq, hypocrisy, hypocrite, then your prostration is hypocrite, your ibadat are hypocrisy, your hajj is munafiq, your dhikr is a nifaq hypocrite, your recitation is hypocrite, your imamat is a hypocrite, your speech is full of hypocrisy, your murids are hypocrites. It all spreads out. The infection spreads. So it depends on the heart. If the heart is a zani, adulterer, then it will make your heart do adultery, your mouth will do adultery, your lips will do adultery, your hands will do adultery, your thoughts will do adultery, in your thinking you'll do zina. Even there will not be a woman next to you, but you'll be doing zina. In your thoughts you'll be thinking, imagining, how shall I control my lusts? What shall I do? What shall I do? So we need to now look into our hearts, analyze, look through the magnifying glass. What type of heart do I possess? What type of heart have I prepared? Is it a heart of a disbeliever, munafiq, deceiver, somebody who loves music? So what's the heart of the mu'min then? So subhanallah, subhanallah. What is the praise of the heart of the mu'min, the true believer? What is the definition, the criteria, the status, the recognizing traits and qualities of the heart of the mu'min? We need, that's what we're doing, isn't it? Tasawwuf, the subject of tasawwuf in Islam is to improve the heart, to clean the heart. Don't forget your objective. This is the fadl of Allah, the great grace of Allah, that those individuals who to make their hearts good, they are trying, they are making efforts, alhamdulillah. Otherwise, where would you listen to what I'm saying today? You won't find what I'm saying in a kitab, not in a speech of Jummah. You will not find this in a taqreer, in a speech. Will you? Will you hear these things? Never. Never. This is the fadl of Allah. You're hearing what you're hearing today. Yani, this is such a scenario. The food comes to that person who's hungry. Isn't it? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Yes? So who knows better than Allah? That who are those who need food? Who require improvement? And will Allah Ta'ala give these words to everybody? Allah will deliver these words to those who most genuinely desire to improve their hearts and become true human beings. Otherwise, we don't need to hear this, pray salah five times a day, do X, Y, Z, ibadah, speeches and ilm and knowledge. So these words, why is Allah Ta'ala delivering these to us? Allah Rabbul Kareem knows that from amongst my makhluk creation, who are those people, those personalities who are serious? They want to improve their hearts and their ruh and their lives, but they don't know how to do it. So Allah prepares from thousands of miles away, hundreds of thousands of miles away, in a small town where there's no light, where there was no oil, Gadai Sharif in Pakistan. And that's where the light emanated and spread around the globe. And to spread that message, the whole world today is listening to that message. Subhanallah. And who prepared this? Rabbul Kareem, Rabbe Kareem. And who is Allah giving this? Who is Allah delivering the food to? Those who are seeking the food. Those who are hungry. Who want? Allah says, you can seek me anywhere. Go to the peak of the mountain. You can go to the hilltops. Go to the rivers. Go to the oceans. Go to the seas. Come out into the wind. Go into the cities. Go to urban areas, rural areas. Leave countries. Go wherever you are. If you have a talab, a desire, then Allah says, my attempt will come running after you to bring you to me. Subhanallah. Allah says, I will give you the food wherever you are hungry. Alhamdulillah. Otherwise, could we think a person who's born here, those who are born here, living here, the child from here, and the people who know nothing, and technically he understands now right at this moment in time, subhanallah, say subhanallah, that subhanallah, marifat points, technical points are being understood at the moment. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it easy? Totally right what I'm saying? Okay. What a great, great words we're listening to, and how easy it is for us. That person who doesn't understand Urdu, they're sitting here, those people who are sitting in front of me, Allah Ta'ala has made that possible. Those, I know these people since that time, they didn't even know Urdu. Now my words they understand in such a way as if, mashallah, they are fazil and alims and they listen to Urdu with ease. Rather, they think it's disrespect to go and listen to the English translation. They understand my words now. What a great achievement. Allah Ta'ala has made it possible. I remember in Manchester, there was a person who used to come and he was an Arab, Qatar, mashallah, he's still there now. And he wouldn't sit in the translation. No. He speaks now fluent, mashallah. He's an Arab. And he said, he was an ashik, mashallah, tasawwuf, wanted to learn this off. He say, somebody said to him once, that you can sit in English, that you won't understand Urdu. He said, let me tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. You're telling me I won't understand. I will tell you that what I understand, you will not understand what I understand. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. And never did I see him sitting in the English translation section. He listened in Urdu and asked him, did he understand what I said? And he would tell you. So what is it? Allah is the one who gives the rizq. Allah gives the sustenance. Allah. But we need somebody, if you put food in front of somebody who's got a belly ache or a stomach upset, then he'll start vomiting, he'll have motions. No. Allah Ta'ala puts the dasturkhan food mat in front of those who seek. Eat and enjoy. Allah says, eat and enjoy. Allahu Akbar. Eat and enjoy. So my brothers, this is the objective. The objective of life. What is our heart? How is my heart made? And what type of heart does Allah want? Allah has given the names of the heart. The forms. Allah says, Qalbi Saleem. Allah says, when you come to me, then come with one heart. And what is that? Allah has given the name. Allah says, Qalbi Saleem. The pure heart. What is that heart, Qalbi Saleem? What's the quality of the heart? What is the definition of the heart, Qalbi Saleem? So now I present to you the phrase, the statements of Hazrat Sahib, Subhanallah, my Shaykh, from the letter. Now I'd share with you, present to you what Hazrat Sahib said. That Qalbin Saleem, everything beforehand is my own words. Now I've explained to you an introduction. So I made the ground fertile for us to understand. What did Hazrat Sahib say then? What are his words? Hazrat Sahib said, look, there are many types of hearts. I'm saying this. Hazrat Sahib said, there will be different types of hearts, forms, conditions. But the mu'min's heart will be Qalbin Saleem. And what will be in the heart of Qalbin Saleem? Subhanallah. What will be in his heart? How will you recognize Qalbin Saleem? Now think, have I got Qalbin Saleem? Because I'm going to die. We are all going to die, aren't we? Aren't we? So what will be the Qalbin Saleem that needs to be presented to Allah? There will be a special quality, characteristic. Listen clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's azmat, greatness. Allah's greatness and power. Allah's fear. Allah's jamal. Allah's love. Allah's achievement. This will all be felt in the heart of Qalbin Saleem. What a great statement Allah Hazrat Sahib said. That in the heart of Qalbin Saleem will be Allah's azmat, His greatness, Allah's power, Allah's fear, Allah's jamal, love for Allah, Allah's kamal, awe of Allah. Yes? And another, the statement of Allah. But everything will be there. But what will that person become if in his heart he has all these things? Allahu Akbar. Has a statement come now. What will that person be? He'll have the taluk with Allah, the link with Allah. He'll have love for Allah for the sake of Allah. If he has ishq, it will be love for the sake of Allah. And if he's fanayat, if he's immersed, it will be immersed for the sake of Allah. Occupied for the sake of Allah. My dying is for the sake of Allah. My living is for the sake of Allah. My salah is for the sake of Allah. My Quran is for the sake of Allah. This is the mu'min. When this emotion descends into the heart, and Allah's greatness, power, jamal, love, his awe, his fear, then that person has an association with Allah, the taluk, then from the awe of Allah, the fear of Allah, the love of Allah, the power of Allah, the glory of Allah, then that person is fana, immersed, lost in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this becomes in the heart of the person, that is defined as qalbi saleem, subhanallah, glory be to Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now Hazrat's statement comes again. That this qalbi saleem, the state of the heart, Qalbin Saleem, that if we make, how do we make our heart Qalbin Saleem? Hazrat Sahib, it does become a Qalbin Saleem. It can only become Qalbin Saleem via the dhikr of Allah, by doing dhikr of Allah. The statement of Hazrat Sahib, subhanAllah. When a person does dhikr and digests dhikr, not from two or three tasbihs, no. When a person imprints Allah Ta'ala's name, ingrains it onto his heart, imagine, in the dunya. There are many thoughts of the world in our heart. For example, you think about your house, it doesn't let you sleep. I'll do this in my house, I'll buy this, I'll do this, I'll decorate it, I'll put ornaments in it. And any thought of anything in the world makes us desperate. For example, somebody's image, it descends into our heart, makes us desperate. And we don't sleep. So if in our heart Allah's greatness, glory, power, jalal, jamal, fear and love comes into our heart, then imagine the life of that mu'min. Imagine his life. How will he be thinking and moving and contemplating and pondering, analyzing during the day? And this is called qalb salim. And when that person gets to this maqam, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. When the human being gets to this maqam, then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that the person of his flesh, of he has a piece of flesh in his body, if that is correct, then everything is correct. So if your heart becomes qalb salim, then your eyes will have modesty, your words will have noor, your speech will have noor, your footsteps will have presence. And your walking, talking will have objective, you'll have sharam, shame, haya. Wherever you go, there will be nice fragrance and goodness and benefit to others. Just like the freshness of the morning is being spread out. That's why somebody has put on a beautiful perfume and itar, and he's walking past that certain locality for a long time, that smell emanates. Suppose even now, if a wali of Allah goes from his village to another area, those places where the wali of Allah travels past, the fragrance emanates. As a Bayezid Bastami rahmatullah alayh, 600 years ago, from he passed by Khurqan, as a Bayezid Sayyid al-Taif, great sheikh, and when he would reach to the Khurqan, the village with his murids, it stopped 600 years, and he would take deep breaths, long and deep breaths. And somebody asked him from the Marid, the Hazrat Sahib, few years we've been seeing you do this in your habit, that when you stop here, Khurqan, you come from Bastam, because Hazrat Bayezid was from Bastam, Bastami, so far, hundreds and many more miles away. When you walk past this village, Khurqan, you stop, and then you take long, cool, deep breaths, and your emotions change. What is this? Why do you do this? And Hazrat Bayezid said that after 500 years from me, 600 years after me, from this soil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow a person of his wali to be born, and he'll have qalbin salim. And his fragrance I'm smelling now, 500 years in advance. Subhanallah. The walis of Allah, when they sit on the earth, then the fragrance emanates, subhanallah. And great flowers bloom from that environment. What is this? This is the fragrance, the smell of qalbin salim, of Allah's power, glory, status, greatness, jalal, jamal, his awe. And everything this emanates from the heart of the mu'min. Yes? So they're not just sitting around. Yeah? Their clothes, they have mashallah. They don't have perfume sometimes to put on their body. They don't have spray. Sometimes they don't stand for hours in front of the mirror looking at their beauty. Allahu Akbar. Yes, sit for 5 minutes next to the wali of Allah, and you will feel like just you want to continue to smell their sweat, because such beautiful smell comes from their breaths and their words. And about these same people, Allah has stated that to see ziyarah, to do ziyarah of a wali of Allah, is as if you are doing ziyarah of Allah. Fanafulullah are the people who are the walis of Allah. They are immersed in Allah. If you put your hand in the hand of the wali and promise to Allah that, and Allah says, I will cure the problems of that person, you've taken the hand of my wali, I'll make it haram for you to go into the hellfire. Allah says, but you've done bay'ah at the hands of my sheikh. So long ago, Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, rahmatullah alayh. How long ago? He stated hundreds of years ago that my Rabb, my Lord, has shown me all the students that will come in my silsila, my series of the Naqshbandi silsila. Allah Ta'ala has introduced the names of the Muridin to me. I'm telling you the secret of the Maktubat of Hazrat Mujaddad al-Thani. Don't ask me Dalil, proof of Quran and Hadith. Just like I told you and shared with you the letter of my Shaykh, this is the Maktubat of Hazrat Mujaddad al-Thani. He said that Allah Ta'ala has given me ilham, inspiration, all those students that will come after me in my silsila. All those people, I've said, how many times have I come? Say Alhamdulillah, say to this masjid. And has everybody who's come to this majlis done bayah to me and come to the silsila? When someone hears it, said, if this was truth, then everybody would come to the silsila and would be forgiven. But only that person comes, as I said, who Allah Ta'ala desires. Who Allah Ta'ala desires. Allah said this in the Quran. Who I like, who I prefer, desire, I give to that person. And if a person comes, then it doesn't take a turn, a long time to have U-turns as well. People get the jitters. And only at that time you'll realize, have you permanently stayed and you've been included in this glad news? that person who dies and leaves this world with the kalima, and that person who's associated with this silsila, and if the shaykh has not rejected him, then from his majlis, from his heart, that person will pass away as a successful murid. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you enjoying yourself? SubhanAllah, this is Hazrat's letter. So Mujaddid al-Thani, hundreds of years ago, yes, centuries ago, he said that Allah Ta'ala showed to me the names of those people, those students who will be bayah in my silsala, will be bayah in my order, the Naqshbandi order. And he said, Mujaddid, that your heart is so saleem, SubhanAllah, that whoever has nisbat with you, connection with you, whichever shaykh is with you and who's bayat with that shaykh and down to that shaykh till Qiyamah, Allah says, I promise I will make the fire of Jahannam haram for that person. Why? Why? What's the reason for that? Because whoever took the hand of Mujaddad, and then the murid of Mujaddad al-Thani, who had another murid, and that order continues, it is such a current injection that nur continues to travel through the decades and the centuries, and this is called bayah. Having the allegiance to the Shaykh, and the Noor continues to trickle through the centuries. SubhanAllah. So Hazrat Sahib said, now coming back to Hazrat Sahib's letter, Hazrat Sahib said that this is the path of Suluk, the Salik, the student who's on the path of Suluk. This is the benefit of Suluk. The Wali will are great. He said, he didn't say you become Wali for this, you become a Qutb Ghawth and run Khankas and have Khankas and make money, become wealthy, become Peer Sahib, and you'll become great and recognized and famous, you know how to give taqrees. No, no. Hazrat Sahib said one thing, Suluk, the path for the salik, and the dhikr that you do in your lataif from the heart to the brothers and sisters, the students, the maqsad is one. The objective is one. There's one objective, that these words that you're being told and taught, they should be ingrained on your hearts. Allah should come into your heart. Yes? Is this not the presence of Allah? Is this not? So how can this come about? The Sufi and shirk are two opposite extremes. Two opposite extremes. If there's a Sufi honest who is on the path of Suluk, who's traveling on the path of Suluk, he cannot be a mushrik. His words can never be mixed in shirk. He cannot do bid'ah. He cannot do innovation, because he is traveling to where? To Allah, towards the wahdaniyat of Allah, oneness of Allah. And he is cutting the path of sin. He's saying, illallah, my salat for Allah, my prostrations for Allah, my salat for Allah, my reactions for Allah. Why should I accept shirk and innovation? Why should I accept bid'ah or practice bid'ah? How can this be a Sufi? Impossible. Say SubhanAllah. Oh, I'm enjoying this so much, reading Hazrat Sahib's letter. Then there were a few secrets, a few confidential points. I summarize the letter. If Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq, we'll speak again. So this is the maqsad. Let's recognize our objective. If you've taken this tasbih, this is Naqshbandi tasbih, the fat beads. No shaykh gives this. Only this person gives this to you. Only this mad shaykh, yes, who is lost in Allah Ta'ala's name, will give you the tasbih, which with each bead you recite the name of Allah. Yes, and great shaykhs, there are many, they don't even look at the marid and they give dhikr. But this shaykh, he doesn't leave your side. He's assisting you, he's running after you. If this person's ghafil, I don't want you to be ghafil. Hazrat Sahib, like children, women, they ask Hazrat Sahib, you haven't given this, you give this to my husband, why don't you give this to me? Okay, you will get this as well. And the next day, the sister also gets the same dhikr. SubhanAllah. So it's a direct link. As I said, this is a secret. So the wife, when she sends a sheet, even the husband doesn't know what she's written, that she writes against husband. He doesn't pray salah, he talks nonsense, he does zulm against me, oppresses me, and the husband doesn't know. And some cowards, they don't even bring the wives to do bayah to the shaykh. Even they don't have yaqeen, or they don't know that. At least, that bring your wife into that circle of goodness that has a Mujaddad al-Iftani said, that have a link with me, come into my silsila al-Naqshbandi. Allah has promised to me that everyone who's in this silsila will be safe from fire of Jahannam. But this doesn't mean that you'll lose zina, adultery, steal, and be abandoned, and he's got nisbah the shaykh and be forgiven. No, 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 no. The objective is that current that's in your heart, the nur, the light of Allah, and when you take the hand of the shaykh, the nur is the nur of Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. Say SubhanAllah again. Obedience to Allah and obedience to Rasulullah. Yes, it will be transferred to you. Same as you take the hand, you can be dirty and pure, thief, daku, bandit, zani, adulterer, but the imam will come onto the head. And the beard will be adorned on the face, and the white libasi will start to love, and he'll have understanding and awareness that this dhikr of Allah, okay, I should sit down as well in the dhikr of Allah. Is this not the case? All previous sins, they'll forget, oh, I need to leave this stuff. this wrong. If there's a girl on the way, a female, oh, where are you going today, my friend? Oh, no, I have now become friend with Allah. You learn as well and start doing dhikr of Allah, and he'll give the advice to the sister as well. Isn't this the case? So what is this? This is the promise of Allah that when you come into the silsa, inshallah, you'll be a dhakir, you'll be grateful to Allah, shakir, and a ashik, the lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. And that's when you'll go to Jannah Paradise. That's the good news that you've been given. That by you coming into the silsila, you'll do no bidah, no innovation. You won't remain as a shaitan. The person who stays as a shaitan and he doesn't follow the path properly, Allah says, I'll expel him. And the connection with you, O Shaykh, will be cut off. He'll be a munafiq, hypocrite. He'll start sinning. He'll start running towards sins. And he'll start stealing, doing sins, men and women. They'll start going. They won't come to those tawbah again. And they will have waswasa, whispering of shaitan in theirs, disrespecting the Shaykh, doubting the Shaykh, criticizing the Shaykh, bad thoughts about the Shaykh. The connection with the Shaykh will become weak. He'll become hypocrite. He'll start looking against the Shaykh, thinking bad about the Shaykh. And you think, no, I'm not benefiting, and he'll expel himself from the silsila. You know, like you have, for example, the flour, and you sift the flour, then the good flour goes through the holes in the sieve, and the contamination stays at the top. Brothers, grab hold of the tasbih with firmness. Next Monday, if it breaks, I'll give you a new tasbih. If it breaks, it won't break. And there's such a wire, until today a person could say, I've lost it. But no one's come back to me and said, Hazrat, the wire that you thread through that tasbih was weak and it broke. No, it cannot be. It cannot be. Tasbih will not break, inshaAllah. Have courage, determination, and knock the beads together. Knock the beads together. Hazrat Junaid Rahman said, as I said, when I pass away, put this tasbih in my grave, because this tasbih will make me forgiven. Such a great asset. So grab hold of tasbihs, my friends. Put in your neck, put in your hand all the time. No one can call you riyab, showing off, pride. Understand, I'm not proud. I'm qalbin salim, lover of qalbin salim. I want to develop my heart and bring the power. I want to bring Allah's power, jamal, husn, beauty, his awe, his glory, his status into my heart. That's what I want to then promise. Allah Ta'ala promises, وَجَادُوا فِينا لَدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Subhanallah. The Quran promises that Allah says, promise to yourself that bring your thoughts into my heart. Bring my thought into your heart. Bring my thought into your heart, Allah Ta'ala says. Take the tasbih, have intention, seek the Shaykh, go onto the path of the soul of Mujahida, striving, not just staying up the night, nafil, shall I keep fast? Oh, shall I do this? What? This is not striving. Striving is what? That your Shaykh, what he's instructed you to do, until death, stay steadfast on this, and this is Mujahida. Whatever the Shaykh says, from the first day, even if maut comes, stay steadfast on this. That's Mujahida. Not I kept this many fast, nafal, this much ibadah. Shall I do this? Shall I do that? This many thousand repetitions, recitations. One sister, poor soul, and I think she's from Blackburn. She said that, can I enter into the silsila? I said, were you bayah with a Shaykh before? She said, I was with a certain Shaykh. I said, tell me your wazaif. And she opened the whole kitab to me. I said, okay, close your kitab from today. 15 minutes you tell me you have to do this, read this, do this at this time, recite this prayer, keep this many fast, do awabin, and keep this fast on this day, etc. I said, whoever gave you this, I promise to you, he probably didn't do this himself. How can a person do this, an individual human being today? Nowadays. So this isn't the requirement. This is not Mujahida. Mujahida is what your Shaykh has prescribed to you, told you to do, that you have to do 100 tasbihs of this. Subhanallah. Tell me, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his blessed daughter and to his Ali radiallahu anhu, what wazifa did he give? Which recitation? He just said that 33 times recite this. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha. Isn't it? Yes. So as Ali radiallahu anhu said that this was such a great wazifa, a prescription, that my life I cannot remember that such hardships came. Battle Siffin expedition. Siffin's expedition. And there were other expeditions. All these hardships came. But such great hardships I passed by. But Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, I did not leave the prescription that my Shaykh gave to me. The recitation, the prayer. I cannot remember a day I left it. Never. This is called istiqamat. And who's he? The door of knowledge. The gate. The gate of knowledge. All of the knowledge comes from the stamp of approval of Hazrat Ali ibn. And if the person is steadfast, oh, I was lazy, I couldn't do it, I left it, oh, I bypassed it. Is this how we get Qalbin Salim? This is Mujahida. Shaykh tells you, he takes your hand, after today, don't do this action. Even if you are weak and you pass away, but don't do that sin again. He has switched your route to the right path, and this is Mujahida. So brothers, Qalbin Salim, this is Ismail, may Allah give us all the tawfiq. And these are beloved words, great statements. If we can do amal, then we'll be successful. Understand the objective now? What do we need to do? Mukhtasir summary. What do we need to do, all of us? What do we need to take hold of? What? What? Say it loudly. Who do we need to take hold of? Tasbih, the rosary bead. Don't leave the tasbih. As the sahib said, that what you will get, this path you'll get from, dhikr Allah, the tasbih. And the greatest mujahidees, walking, talking, traveling, wherever you are, alhamdulillah. The more wazifa you've been given, Allah, 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 Allah. Tasbih, knock it, the beads, and the rest of the time, concentrate on your heart, do maraqaba, that my heart is saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. As long as you do this, until your heart doesn't become qalbin saleem. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Oh, I think about the greatness of Allah. Wallahi, today I didn't feel well and I have to go to the hospital in the morning, and this fear of going to the hospital, I thought I'll come, I'll do dhikr quickly, so I'll go after half an hour. That was my niyah before I came to this prayer mat. This was my intention. But Hazrat Sahib gave me a push that read my letter to the colleagues. And then the map, the sketch, the scene of the mehfil majlis changed. It was half an hour, just 30 minutes until I'll do dhikr, I'll do maraqaba, and I'll go. I'm not feeling well today, and then I'll have to go tomorrow morning to the hospital. I thought that today I'll seek forgiveness from the brothers. I can't speak much. But suddenly I started recite Durood Sharif, and Durood Sharif was barakah, so much blessings, that I didn't read Durood Sharif and I didn't even have the connection. Yes, so that's why we read durood before the bayan. The Allah Ta'ala says that your durood, Rasulullah said your durood reaches to me straight away. Otherwise you get immediate connection, that person who is reciting durood to Rasulullah. So if the Holy Prophet, if we haven't got his connection, then we cannot succeed. And that same time, I said durood sharif, the connection was made, the current was running, flowing. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and accept our sitting. Ameen.